be in Matthew 28. Please stand with me if you're able to. Again, we're starting from Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start reading from verse 18. A couple of verses here as we pick up. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" Father in heaven, we thank you for scriptures like this. We thank you that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. God, and these principles that are contained within your word, we know that it wasn't meant just for Matthew Levi and just for the disciples 2,000 years ago, but you were thinking of us here, each and every one of us, Lord. We want to be your disciple, your learner, your follower. And we don't want to just give you lip service and say that on Sunday and then on Monday live our own life. We want to dedicate ourselves to you, a living sacrifice. We want to declare that you are the Lord of our lives. And we know that every day is simply a test. We're going to spend eternity with you. And right now, you want us to grow to learn of your love for us and that we would learn to love you back. But Lord, we dedicate our lives to you. We declare to you our weakness. We know that you are strong. Please strengthen us to know and to do your will. Father, I pray also that you would be the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort here. That there's someone here that needs your comforting, please comfort them, Lord. I know that many of my friends here go through so much in life, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to heal the brokenhearted. We know that and we believe that. But can you please comfort us? Send your Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort the hearts, to encourage us to follow you. And we do ask, Father, that you would empower us also by your Spirit. Open up our understanding for these passages and teach us about baptism and your plan for our lives. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So I want to open today by telling you a funny story of a guy that didn't know how to be baptized. So this guy didn't know how to be baptized, and he didn't know how to ask to be baptized. So one day he was at home, and he went in his bathtub, and he started to pray. He was sincere in his heart, and he just sought the Lord and commenced to baptize himself. By the way, that person was me. It's not a joke about somebody else. And you guys are like, gosh, this guy's going to baptize other people. I didn't know how to ask to be baptized. And one day I shared this with my pastor friend. He's like, "Hey, you got to do this. You got to do this right." I'm like, "I don't know what to do." It's a long time ago. And I shared with my friend. He's like, "Okay, we got to get baptized then." So we went ahead and did it. And I praise God that he helped me out. And so when we do get baptized, we just simply got to know what the Bible says. And I was sincere in my heart, but I was sincerely wrong about the way that I went about it. That's me, the pastor, your pastor of this church. So we've all got funny stories of how we try to do things for God. Sometimes we could be way off. That's me. Anybody here tend to learn from the bad ways, your mistakes in life? Welcome to the club, okay? School of hard knocks, some people say too. So we all simply need help from other people, and for myself even, including other pastor friends. So this is what we're going to do today. On the serious side, we're going to look at what the Bible actually does say about baptism. Why we should do it. Not just, hey, do it. Why? Because everybody does it. No. Right? Because it could be a ritual, right? Or if you've ever seen that movie, Fiddler on the Roof, who's seen that movie? Tradition. Tradition. Right? We just do things because of tradition. So it's important to know why we should baptize, right? And as we read here in Matthew chapter 28, the short answer is we should baptize because Jesus said so. Right? Jesus commands it. He doesn't call us to baptize ourselves. I'm not going to share your story. I'll share my funny story. It's like, oh my gosh, a little embarrassing, but nonetheless, that's me in the past, right? My BC days before really walking with and really knowing how to serve Jesus. And then being able to see this and go, oh, go therefore make disciples, baptizing them, not baptizing yourself. So I praise God for friends. That's what we'll be doing today, God willing, later on. So the longer answer is that in order to fulfill the Great Commission, if you've ever heard of that term, Great Commission, this is where you get it from. Matthew chapter 28, you and I just read this. Let's look at this again in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hey, there ain't no greater authority. He authorizes not just Matthew Levi, who wrote this book, and not just the early disciples, the church, including me and you. What does he authorize us to do? Look in verse 19. Go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples. The authorization of Jesus and the Great Commission, folks, this might be new to somebody here, is making disciples. Really? It's not making a mega church. It's not making missions. It's not making fill in the blanks. No. It's making disciples. In other words, what Jesus had done, it's like to say to Matthew Levi and the others, what I've done with you, simply go and do with others. Oh, that makes sense. But yet that gets kind of lost today in our translation, so to speak. So we're to make disciples. Notice what he says here. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And he says, baptizing them. Baptizing them. I'm going to display this here on the screen. So this is Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19 that we just read. Notice a couple things here, as I have here on the display. Jesus gives his authority in what we call the church's Great Commission. And what does he authorize the church to do? Make disciples. Now, this gets kind of mixed up and convoluted because I remember being with other ministries and talking with other Christians, especially if you're very action-oriented. Who here is that action-oriented, I got to do something. I'm always want to be active and doing. Who here is that way? We tend to focus then. I'm like that too. I think most of us are kind of wired that way. Some of us are brave enough to raise our hands. The other ones are kind of like, in my heart, I'm going to raise my hand. All right. So I know where you're at. Notice, though, that if you're very action-oriented, the focus can be in verse 19 on that word go. Go. And I was actually discipled in my younger years and told, hey, look, it says go. But it wasn't until I actually studied the Bible, and you could dig into the original languages, did you know that that word go is not a command? Jesus never said that as a command. The command in the original language is actually make disciples. Make disciples. So Jesus is authorizing the church with his command. The greatest command for the Great Commission is to make disciples. So the authority is specifically and solely to make disciples. It's not an authority to make anything else. Therefore, we establish this church on that premise. On God's word, not my grand plans, and I had to die too much of that, still do. It's simply a matter of Jesus, what did you say? And let's just stick with the Bible. I was talking with Nigel earlier. We want to be a church where we're not just teaching about the Bible, talking about the Bible, but teaching you through the entire Bible, which is still very rare in New York City. Pray for us. God willing, this will be, you know, first of maybe many. We want to be able to do church plants, Spanish, and to reach people all around from New York City and beyond. But the power is in God's Word. And when you study God's Word, we won't get it wrong. I had buddies and friends that were into missions, very action-oriented. Look, it says go. Why are you still here? And you could be, you know, mixed up, right? You hear the word of man, and then the Spirit of God is like, I'm not going to empower that word because that's not what I said. Okay, so Satan's brilliant at taking the word and twisting it out of its context, not giving you the text in its context. The original plan of Jesus in what we call the Great Commission is to make disciples. So the short answer is, why do we make disciples? Because we want to fulfill the command of Christ in the Great Commission. We want to obey him. A disciple, what is that? Basically, it's a learner. It's a follower. We want to follow Jesus Christ. But notice what it says here. Disciples are made. Who are the mommies and daddies in the room? Raise your hand. Look around. Now, how ludicrous would it be if your doctor told you when you bring the baby home, now, give the baby a pack of diapers, give the baby a whole bunch of bottles of milk, and even maybe some baby wipes to clean up after herself or himself, and just say, bye-bye. You raise yourself. That would be pretty ludicrous. In this country, in many countries, they probably lock you up, right? Child services, all that kind of stuff. That's not only illegal to do, that's ridiculous, right? So we tend to, in America, we're a land of these DIY kind of folks, right? You can find out anything on YouTube. I study and do video. You can find anything on YouTube. I don't know how to do it. Heart surgery. Oh, look it up. I'm going to do it myself. Just kidding. Don't go there. I'll YouTube it. So you can learn just about anything today, right? But unfortunately, with God's plan and what the Holy Spirit tells us, we need to go along with what God says. Okay, so he says, make disciples. Disciples are made. They're not born that way. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I know as a principal, you and I, because of the fallen state of mankind, you and I do not automatically and naturally want to follow Jesus. The flesh is like, uh-uh. We just talked about that earlier, right? We can have our own sort of plans and so forth. And yet Jesus has his plan for your life. So disciples are made. You and I don't naturally, we don't automatically follow Jesus. We need to be trained to do so. We need to see other examples, God willing. And we need to be taught how to be followers of Jesus. By the way, how many years roughly did Jesus spend with his disciples? Roughly. 3 years, roughly. Three and a half years. And it was pretty much 24/7, too. You look at that and go, wow, we need a lot of help. Just like Matthew Levi. He's like, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that one down. Put it in my book, man. So the last main command that he puts in his book is if to say, let me summarize everything. Make disciples. So a disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. And disciples are made just like Matthew Levi had to come out of his background and made to follow Jesus and helped along the way. So again, Jesus said, make disciples. This is the short answer as to why we want to baptize. I thought it was going to be some big thing and, you know, some convoluted message. No, it's really simple. Jesus commanded it. When you look at the original language, the command is to make disciples. When we said go, that is not the command. Make disciples is the main command. So what's one of the first things you do, the first steps needed to make disciples? Let's look at this again, guys. I didn't write this. Jesus said it. Matthew Levi wrote it, and your publisher put it in your book. If it's a New King James Version Bible, then it's Thomas Nelson. Let's read in verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Let's read this next phrase together, can we? 1, 2, 3. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, is this given just to a, quote, church? No, the church. It's the, you know, it's not that we have to have four walls we sit in or chairs that we sit upon. Maybe you're going to make disciples at your workplace. And maybe God will bring them to you and they'll never come in here. Good, you disciple them. Right? You never know. I'm just saying that maybe at your home or wherever you work, wherever you're at, maybe God will use you to help somebody there, wherever you are around the globe. And there's people that need help, right? If you're open to it, when you leave the doors here, this is like a training ground. It's many things. When you leave the doors, you hit the mission field. Even today. Pray for today. We're going to be on the sand in a couple of hours. We'll be on the sand. And we want to be able to publicly display our Christianity, right? Not unless they think, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No, we want to be out there. Susan's going to be out there. This girl can belt, too. So we're going to be out there. She'll be singing at least on the beach, and all of us gather around. But we want to be able to put our Christianity on display for the glory of God. So we're doing something to be able to help one another. Because there's people there that want to declare that Jesus is the Lord of their lives. So what do we do in making disciples? He says baptizing them. I don't want anybody to think that it's me or this church that came up with a brilliant plan. It is a brilliant plan, but if you look in your Bible, I didn't write it. I didn't even say it. I'm just repeating what the master said. He said, baptizing them. So how do you make disciples? First step, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptizing them is the first step needed to obey the command of Jesus to make disciples. Let's finish this up in verse 20. And then what's the other main command? He says, teaching them. Notice what he says. Again, if you study and actually analyze this. Teaching them. We were talking about this earlier, Nigel. Teaching them to observe. Notice he says, all things I've commanded you. Folks, you and I are in desperate need of being taught and fed and reading and applying this. Amen? Church, hold up your sword, would you? This has power. It's very powerful. The devil's afraid of this. He's not afraid of you. He's afraid of you if you're walking in the power of God. There's power in the Word of God. Not this as a physical book. You can't, like, see the devil and throw it at him. You get back. There's power in the Word of God, especially how, when it's preached and walked out, then really he can't touch you. If he does, God allowed it. God approved it. You can read about that in Job chapter 1. There's power in God's Word. But notice this. How do you make disciples? One of the biggest things, and as I was sharing with Nigel earlier, it's when I moved out here 19 years ago, it was really hard to find a Bible-teaching church. Still is. And I'm not talking, because there's a lot of Bible-teaching churches, or a lot of churches that say they're Bible-teaching. Catholic churches will say that. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But when it comes to actually teaching through the entire Bible, it's sad, but it's rare. Just like the Bible prophesies in the last days, men will be lovers of. And then Paul said to Timothy, that in these last days, people will draw teachers to themselves, preaching to what? Itching ears, tickling ears. Basically telling people what they want to hear, not what they need to know. What would you feel like if you went to your doctor and your doctor's like, I don't really want to tell you what's going on. What's going on, doc? I don't really want to tell you. Just come back. Let me send you out with a feel-good message and a smile on your face. What's going on? No. Probably be like, I need to get another doctor, right? Some of us work in the medical field. It's like, you gotta just deliver it, right? And share with them. What's the prognosis, diagnosis? What's going on? So you and I need the entire Bible. How do you know that? This is one of many places. How do you make disciples? Teaching them. There's a great need, not just for preaching, for salvation. Once you're saved, then there's a great need for teaching the Bible. And because Jesus said, teach them all. There's a great need for teaching all Scripture. And hello, not just talking about the Bible, but teaching through the entire Bible, which again is rare in New York City. If you find other churches here in New York City, please let me know. Again, not just someone that's going to say they teach the Bible, but teaches through the entire Bible. I want to know so we can connect with them and partner with them. So Jesus said, teaching them to observe all. So this means you and I need to make disciples. Mommies, daddies, you know your children don't automatically obey everything you say. And how many times you got to tell them before they listen?
Many times.
So you might say, like, dozens. And they might say, Mom, you told me that before. Yeah, I'm going to keep telling you until you do what? Well, some of you guys chuckle because what do you think God thinks, right? So this is a way to teach us about parenthood also and how we are with God. So teaching them to observe. It says teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So we want to teach the Bible for application, not just for the sake of making, like forcing something to fit. But in other words, God's word is alive and real here for you today. Amen? It's living and active. The passage that speaks about that, the Greek word is energēs. What do you think that sounds like in English? Energetic. The word of God is alive and energetic. When I was growing up as a kid, we used to call this the ouch book. Why do you think that is? Because when you read it, ouch book, you read it, you're like, oh, I don't want to. I'm going to do my devotion. Oh, turn the page. I'm going to read through that story. I'm going to read it, but I'm not going to, you know, there's a thing of comprehension, right? Reading, comprehension, understanding, application. The ouch book. And so God will use his word to read your heart, to reveal to you what's going on inside. You can read about that in Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God is living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So the word of God is what you and I need and must feed on And it's how you and I make disciples. Baptizing them is the first step. What's the main next step? Teaching them, and not just teaching them to observe for application. Right? Teaching for application, and not just teaching one little thing or cherry-picking verses to make your own scriptural salad, to make your point. I'm not saying that, you know, to ridicule anybody here, but I have some buddies that are teaching, you know, within our fraternity or brotherhood of teaching and preaching within the body of Christ. There are people that want to manipulate using God's word. Shame on them. We should not. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So when we teach and preach through the entirety of the Bible for personal application, so that you would observe what Jesus tells you to do, guess what happens? He makes you his disciple. Don't you love that? It's kind of simple, right? It's like when your mom or your daddy teaching your kids, or kid, you don't want to hold back anything that you know they lovingly need to know and hear, right? You can tell them the good, bad, and the ugly, right? You got to tell them what it is. For the most part, that's what we do as parents. And God's the same way. So we want to be able to teach people the Bible. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to close here. I want to keep, like I said, this brief. You'll find it on the paper here. Baptism is part of your discipleship process. I cover that here in Matthew 28. So why do we want to baptize? It's obeying Christ's command. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, go to verse 12. You can read the whole passage later on, which is Colossians 2, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to summarize it for the sake of time right now, because we got to head out to the beach in just a bit on this baptism Sunday. But in Colossians 2, verse 12, did you know that baptism is a symbol of death? So why do we do it? Because Christ commands it. It's part of your discipleship process. Colossians 2, verse 12. Notice it says, buried with him in baptism. So Christ Jesus was crucified on the cross. And even as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, right? Galatians 2, verse 20. So I need to identify with that fact. I am crucified with him. I'm a dead man, dead woman in Christ, right? You and I are. Not only that, buried with him in baptism, verse 12, in which you were also... You also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so God is doing a new work within this church, a new work within many of the hearts and lives here. Keep Elio and Nori and a bunch of the folks that get baptized. They keep them in prayer. God's doing something new through them. I'm excited for them. I get more joy out of that than even when it's like me in your place. We need to pray for them. We need to lovingly surround them and encourage them in God's ways. Because the picture of baptism, one of the pictures is a picture of death. We're going to gather on the sand in just a moment, down south at the beach. And it's imagining, like people kind of come into your funeral. Okay, so saying goodbye. Saying goodbye to the old man, the old woman. Whoever you were before today or before when you got saved, it's like saying bye-bye to that person, right? Whoever that person was, that old life of sin, etc. One of the pictures I love, too, is like the butterfly. What was this before it was a beautiful butterfly? What was it?
Caterpillar.
It was a caterpillar. Yeah, it goes in the cocoon, and it comes out. A beautiful butterfly. Butterfly's not in the Bible, but it serves as a great illustration of a new life, because there's a metamorphosis that occurs. There's a transformation. And we're going to be able to see that today. That's something that just gives me a lot of joy to know. So pray for those that will be baptized. And maybe someone else here wants to join in for that too. That'll be up to you. Just let me know. So we're buried with him in baptism, and it doesn't end there. Crucified with Christ, identifying with his cross and his death. Buried with him in baptism, Colossians 2:12, and also risen with him. You were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. As I promised, we're going to end at this time because of the time that it is. I promised to end at 11:45. This is an abbreviated service, a brief service. I'm going to close us with a word of prayer. Can we all stand, please? And after I close us with a brief word of prayer to end this time, I want to ask those that are going to be baptized today, if you can come forward. We just want to pray for you today, too. If Perfect. You guys can come forward now if you want. I'm going to close us with prayer, though, for this time. Steve, known Steve too for a while. He's getting baptized today. Today is the right time, right?
It feels good.
It's the time. Come on up. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for those who are dedicating their lives to you as the Lord of their lives. Lord, we present them before you. And Lord, we do ask in this moment, in this time, that you please empower them as we're about to on their physical water baptism. Father in heaven, I pray that you would please baptize them spiritually. Give them a spiritual baptism, Lord. Give them the spiritual gifts that you desire for each of them to have. Oh, Lord. As a living sacrifice, help them to live their lives, their hearts, their thoughts even pure before you, God. Empower them through your Holy Spirit that they could live and walk a life of purity, personal purity and holiness, dedicating their lives to you. Please, Father, we ask that you would empower them by your Spirit. We look forward to seeing the spiritual gifts that you would have to pour through their lives like living water, Lord. So, Father in heaven, we ask, as well as for each of us here, can you please pour out your Spirit upon, into, and through us? Lord Jesus, you said if anyone thirsts to come to you, and that out of our hearts, our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Lord, we need you in our lives. We ask God, can you please empower us by your Spirit? Help us to longer live for the flesh and the sins of the past. God, I know you've done that in my life and so many of our lives. Help us to run away from those things and to run to pursue you with those who call on you out of a pure heart, God. Do that in the lives of this church. Do that in the lives of your church, not just this one, but globally, the entire body of Christ, God. So as we embark from here in a moment, Lord, we just pray, thanking you, God, for salvation through Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his blood that was poured out, creating the new covenant, cleansing our sins. Help us to keep walking in your power, your strength, and protect each and every one of us, God, that we can continue to give you honor, praise, and glory, that we can dedicate ourselves to you, not just today, but every day, as a living sacrifice for your glory and yours alone. For we pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.